Okay. Great. Well, as you know, we've been working through this book, A Passionate Life, and we've been doing the shapes, haven't we? There's all the life shapes that go there. Remember the shape? Remember the triangle, the square? What did we have last Sunday? Was anyone here last Sunday? It was a pentagon, yes. And the pentagon was, do you remember what it was? Apostles, pastors, prophets, teachers, yes. Evangelists, yes, that's what it was. It's worth doing these shapes, eh? It's worth doing these shapes. Okay, so today we're looking at this. Now, if I said to you, why did Jesus die? What's the answer? Why did Jesus come? Why did he die? Anything else? Why did Jesus die? That's the answer I expected. Thank you, Claire. She said, for our sins. Yeah? But you see, I think it's bigger than that. I think Jesus died to repair something that was broken. Right? And the thing that was broken was our relationship with God. And the way we were sort of getting around it was we were sacrificing animals. You know, we were killing doves and sheep and things like that whenever we did things wrong. And the doves and the animals didn't like us, really. And it wasn't making any difference because people were just continuing to do all the wrong things. The relationship was still broken. Nothing was getting any better. And then people started making money out of this. They set up stalls outside the temple and they were selling you doves and sheep and things like, oh, you've sinned. Here, take one of these. Give me the money. People were making money out of the fact. In other words, nothing was changing. We were stuck in our sins and it had become a way of life. This was not what God intended because God made us in his image. We know that, don't we? He made us to be like him. And he made us for relationship with him. And that's what had gone wrong. It wasn't there. And so this hurt God so much, Jesus saw it. And Jesus volunteered to come and put it right. If you think about relationships for a little while, what sort of things are important in any relationship? Any relationship, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be a friend, it could be a best friend, it could be a wife or a husband, it could be a son, a daughter. What sort of things are important in relationships? Love, very important. Very important. Anything else? Trust, yes. Trust is extremely important in a relationship. I've got honesty, faithfulness, shared interests or goals, yes. We need to be in this together. There needs to be a connection. What else is really important to a relationship, to any relationship? Really important, vital. Communication. Communication, right. And actually, that's what this is. That's what this is. Prayer is simply communicating with God. And it's vital to our relationship with him. If we're not talking to God, we're not in relationship with him. More importantly, if he's not talking to us, we're kind of lost. It's a one-way conversation. There's all sorts of communication methods in the world now. There's new ones every day. But there's certain methods of communication which don't work two ways. Can you think of any? Methods of communication that work only one way. Orders, road signs. It says stop. You can't really argue or discuss it. It just says stop. You know, there's a hill. Well, fair enough, there's a hill. What about advertising? You know, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread, buy one. You can't ask questions. It just says it's the best thing ever. You know, advertising doesn't let you get into conversation about anything. It's just trying to sell you something. But real relationships need communication both ways, don't they? So I thought we'd start by changing this because, you know, there's an awful lot of words in the religious world, you know, or in the Bible or in church that we use all the time, you know, and what do they really mean? You know, What do they really mean? Because we use them, but do we fully understand them? We talk about worship, and if you say to people, what's worship? A lot of people say, singing. Well, singing can be an expression of worship, but worship can be lots of things. It can be painting a picture. It can be dancing. It can be so many things. It's how you express your love for God. And you can do it in so many different ways. So worship's so much bigger than just singing. Although singing's good. And we're really blessed with our band, are we not? Anyway, there are so many of these words. Now, so I'm going to change this. I'm going to take away that word, right? So I don't want you to worry about that word. I want you to think about this instead. Right? So we'll just forget that word, but we understand this, don't we? We can understand this, because it's just like you and I having a conversation, and God wants it to be exactly the same. He wants you to hear his voice just as much as he wants to hear yours, because that's proper relationship. The thing that God desires more than anything from you is proper relationship. An introverted person might say, the best way for me to do this is just to stay in my room, think about things, read my Bible, and write down any thoughts that God gives to me. That works. That can work. An extrovert kind of person might say, I'll go for a walk, and I'll pray for the things that I see, and I'll expect God to show me things while I'm out there. And that works. He'll do that as well. The basic important thing, really, is to involve God in everything that you're doing. Invite him to be part of what you're doing, part of your day. When you're at your busiest, it's hard to find time for God, people say. That's the very time to ask him to come in. Because if you do that, you might just find it gets easier. Or he might just give you a word or a direction or a thought which turns the whole day. So it's so important to involve God in everything that you're doing. Now, one of the things we're going to look at, of course, is one day the disciples said to Jesus, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Didn't they? And then Jesus gave them what we call the Lord's Prayer, because it's the one that he taught to us. You see, I think what the disciples said to Jesus was, we can see the relationship you've got with your Father. Show us how to have the same thing. Show us how to have the same thing. They didn't just want to teach them a formula or something clever to pray out loud to God. They wanted what Jesus had. They could see the relationship he had with his Father. He said he always heard his Father's voice. He didn't do anything he didn't see his Father doing. And so the disciples were saying to him, really, teach us to have what you've got. That's what we want. So, if you look at that very quickly, there it is. And you'll see I've got in blue there, near the bottom, deliver us from evil. It can actually mean the evil one or the devil, you know, keep him away from us. But there's the Lord's Prayer. And we say this prayer together every Sunday, don't we? Every Sunday we say it again. And when I first came here, I must admit, I thought, why did we just keep praying this prayer over and over again? You know? Well, of course, at first I didn't quite understand how important this prayer is. But it's not a magic formula. But within it are some very, very real truths. So I want us to have a look at them. And we're going to go through this very, very carefully, because these are, within it are six simple phrases that contain the fullest answer to the simplest question. You know? And they were just saying, show us how to have what you've got. And so Jesus says these things. So we're looking at the hexagon. So if we look at the start of the Lord's Prayer, the first thing that we see in the Lord's Prayer is this statement, isn't it? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And this is really talking about God's character. Because we know how wonderful God is. We know how much God loves us. We know that there is nothing we can do to make God love us any more than he already does. because God is love. We also know there's nothing we can do to make God love us any less, because God is committed to loving us just the way he does. And that's wonderful, isn't it? Because that means no matter what we get wrong, God's love doesn't change. That's amazing. His love doesn't change. What father or mother loves their children less when they make mistakes? It doesn't happen. We're sorry they made a mistake because it affects them. But we don't love them any less. So the first part of the prayer is acknowledging who God is. The first step in glorifying God is not to ignore him. If we're not talking to him at all, if we're not actually praying to God and talking to him on a regular basis, then we're ignoring him. How can we get to know someone we're ignoring? It just doesn't work. And God's desperate to know us, so it's not difficult if we reach out to him to expect him to respond. He will respond. He will respond. We're his sons and daughters. The Bible's very clear that we are the children of God. We are the citizens of heaven. You know? All of us image bearers, and that's you, right? All made in his likeness, right? We are the citizens of heaven. So I suppose you could say we don't belong here because we're citizens of heaven. Well, actually, you're right. Because as citizens of heaven, the kingdom of God that is in heaven is ours. And our purpose is to see that come here and to allow people to see glimpses of it here because we're citizens of heaven. Paul says we're ambassadors for Christ. And what is an ambassador? Someone who lives in a foreign country, not a place where they belong, but they go to a foreign country, and all they do the whole time they're there is try to encourage people to think about where they're from, to buy goods from where they're from, to think about all the wonderful things that come from where they're from. And that's what an ambassador does. He doesn't belong in that country, but he's there, and he's constantly encouraging people to hear about his country. And that's our job, to tell people about what God's kingdom's like, so that a little bit of God's kingdom can be in their country, in their, and break into this world. That's the purpose. So our Father, who is in heaven, we are basically citizens of heaven. Yeah? That's what the Bible tells us. So that's where we belong. One day we'll be there. But right now we're ambassadors here. Okay? Let's look at the next bit. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How do you think it is in heaven? Do you think there's any problems up there? Do you think there's any arguments? No? Do you think there's any debate about what to do next? No. So if we start thinking about what it's like in heaven, what are we actually saying? We're saying, let's see that here. Why? Because that's what he's called us to do. He's called us, Jesus says, come and follow me, and this is what you need to be doing. You need to be people who become conduits or ways for God's kingdom to break into this world. That's our purpose. And you can do it so easily. You know, we get frightened when we hear the word evangelism. You know, it's, oh dear, I don't think I'd be very good at that. But actually, you don't have to be, because God does it. You just have to allow him to do it. All you have to do is love people, actually, and reach out to them. And they will ask you, why are you doing that? What motivates you to do this? So they'll ask about the kingdom. You just have to demonstrate it, and they'll ask. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Father's kingdom. It's all about the Father's kingdom. You know, and if you're in a good kingdom, it's great. If you're in a bad kingdom, it's a terrible place to be. We've seen lots of, maybe not kings, but perhaps people running countries who haven't run them perhaps the best way, have they? Saddam Hussein, various other people spring to mind. You know, if you're in a bad kingdom, it's not good. But if you're in a good kingdom, it's great. It's great. And since our kingdom is in heaven, we want a bit of heaven to break out here. Do you think that's possible? It is. It was all around. The kingdom was all around Jesus. The people saw miracles happening. They saw the kingdom of God breaking out all around the place, around Jesus. And Jesus said to his disciples, he says, you know, you'll do greater things than this. No pressure for them then. Well, actually, there isn't any pressure for them because God says he'll do it. He just needs people to say, use me. It's okay, use me. And as soon as somebody says that, God says, there's a way for me to express my kingdom. And that's what he'll do. Let's look at the next bit. Oh, here it comes. Give us today our daily bread. At first glance, this looks like food, doesn't it? Because bread's food, isn't it? Bread. What about the butter? But, yeah. Obviously, it's more than food. It's more than just food. What do we need each day? What are basic human needs? Food is one of them. What else would be a basic human need? Sorry?
A parrot.
Well, perhaps, John. What about shelter? Shelter. Clothing. Yeah? Basic human needs. Yeah? Sorry? Water. Water, right? Yes, because, I mean, after all, that's not food. It's drink, I suppose, isn't it? But, yeah. And this tells us about the Father's provision, doesn't it? We're basically saying, you know, everything comes from you, including us, you know, so you must know all the things we need, and so we're going to ask you for it. Now, the wonderful thing about this is it says, give us today. It doesn't say, give us a week's supply, or can we have a couple of weeks' supply from Tesco? It's not saying that, is it? It's saying today. Now, the fascinating thing about today is, what about tomorrow? Can you remember when the children of Israel were in the desert, in the wilderness, and God was giving them manna? Do you remember that story? They had nothing to eat, you see, and so God made this stuff appear on the ground, and they would go out in the morning, they would collect it, wouldn't they? And they could eat it. But if you took more than enough, it wouldn't keep. It was useless. You had to wait till the next day to get the manna for the next day. So the manna is only for today. So God was showing them something. They need to depend on him on a daily basis for what they need. Fascinating, isn't it? And here it is in the Lord's Prayer. Just give me today what I need. I think that's really important. And of course, we need lots of things. We basically need God to give us everything for every situation. This is why this relationship needs the communication to be constant. Because you might find yourself in a situation where you need something. How are you going to get it? Today. What do I need today, right now? What we're saying to God is, give me today what I need so that I can do the things that will bring in your kingdom today. And God promises to do that. So that talks about God's provision. Let's look at the next one. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. The first fascinating thing about this is it seems to have a provision in there. It's provisional. Provisional on us doing something. That's interesting, isn't it? It says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. In other words, if we're not forgiving people, God might not forgive us. Or if God's going to forgive us, what right have we got not to forgive other people? If God has forgiven us, we're not being a son or a daughter, are we? We're not following him, are we? You can't say he's like his dad. No. We've got to do it. So the Father's forgiveness is conditional on us being those that forgive. So we can't hold grudges. We have to let things go. Let's look at the next one. Lead us not into temptation. Temptation's less likely if we're with other people, particularly if we're with other Christians, and definitely very unlikely if we're with God. If God's close, it's unlikely that we're going to have problems with this. But temptation is all around us if we leave God behind and we go away from those who we know will encourage and support us. It gets more difficult. And temptation in this world today is everywhere. absolutely everywhere. So this part of the prayer talks about God's guidance, as you can see. So look at the next bit. But deliver us from evil, or from the evil one. This is the one who's out to kill and destroy. Because the devil has been thrown out of heaven. He can't be in God's kingdom any longer or anymore. He can't go back. And it would be wonderful for him if he could keep people from getting there and staying in it. And he doesn't want God's kingdom down here on earth. He definitely doesn't want that, because he was thrown down here out of God's kingdom. But God wants his kingdom to be here. You see, heaven's not a place we're waiting to go to. Heaven exists, and God's intention is through us, it's seen here in this world. It breaks into this world. And you do see it happen. You see it when you see a miracle. You see it when someone gets healed. You see it in so, so many ways when God's kingdom just breaks through. When you see someone who's released from something, God's kingdom breaks into this world. And it's an exciting time. Now, the first thing you notice when you look at that now is that hexagon. All these parts of the Lord's Prayer appear to relate to one person. Yes? It's the Father's character, the Father's kingdom, the Father's provision, the Father's forgiveness, the Father's guidance, and the Father's protection. It's all about him. Everything always is. God is who he is. That's why we say, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name." Because he's God. Because it's all about him. He holds it all together. He made this world. He made each one of us in his image. It's okay to get excited, by the way. It's awfully quiet. But it's all about him. But this is the fantastic truth. You know, it's ours. And Jesus, when he gives the disciples this prayer, he says, look, it's all about God. And this is all you need to do to have it. Just acknowledge who he is. Keep that communication open. Allow God to speak to you. And God speaks to us in lots of different ways. You know some of the ways that God can speak to you? He can speak to you through the Bible. You can just be reading your Bible and something just goes, wow, hadn't seen that before. Or perhaps you've got a situation in your life and you just read this bit and it's the exact answer to the question you've been asking. And there it is, hidden in the Bible. Wow. God can speak to you from a bus going by. There's something written on the bus, David. Wonder what it could be. It says, try praying or something. Sometimes it can be something really strange. It can be advertising something, but it clicks in your mind and God says, remember that thing you asked me about? That's the answer. God's not stuck for it. God can speak to you from the TV through whatever's happening on the television. There are so many ways. God is not stuck for ways to communicate with you. If your heart is to hear God's voice, God will speak. If that's what you want in your heart, because see, God doesn't just listen to what we say. He reads our thoughts and he listens to our heart. Because he knows us. Now, this prayer actually ends with another bit, which kind of talks about the beginning. So it kind of loops up, if you like, a bit like the hexagon. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen. So it just kind of reiterates what we had before. But it's so important that we understand that all of this is about God. And it's all about our relationship with him, about us talking to him and expecting him to talk to us. And him using us as conduits or ways for his kingdom to be expressed in this world. And once we allow God to do this, this communication is vital to all of this happening. If there's no communication, you won't see much of this going on. You won't see much of the kingdom being expressed. You've got to get the communication going. You've got to get the relationship building. Relationship, it's vital to have communication in relationships. Now, the interesting thing about this was the disciples said to Jesus, show us how to have what you've got, right? Because that's what they said when they said, teach us to pray. Show us how to have what you've got, that relationship with God that you've got. And he told them, this is how you do it. It's all about God. And you ask him to help. You ask him to give you what you need. And he'll show you what you need. That's all you have to do. And in John 17, if you've got a Bible near you, you could look at John 17. Jesus is praying. And the very interesting thing about this is he covers all these points in this prayer in John 17. It's almost as if he's saying, remember I told you all this stuff? Well, now I'm putting it into action because I'm praying and I'm doing exactly what I told you. Now watch this, right? If we look at John 17, verse 3. It says, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God. Yeah? When Jesus makes a statement like that, what he's actually referring to is God's character, who God is. There is only one God. Yeah? We were doing the Ten Commandments earlier today, weren't we? And we were talking about there only being one God, weren't we? Yes. And the week before we were doing idols, false gods. There's only one God. And so Jesus is talking about God's character, who he is. There is only one God. And we're his kids. We're citizens of heaven. And we're those through whom the kingdom comes to this world. Okay, if we then look on to the Father's kingdom, if we look into verse 5, you'll see he says, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. What existed before this world began? Did heaven exist before the world began? Was God there in the heaven? Yes? Yes. So God's kingdom already existed in heaven before this world was even made. So Jesus is referring there to his Father's kingdom. He says, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began, because Jesus was with God in heaven. So there he is referring to God's kingdom. If you look in verse 7, he says, now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. This is Jesus praying. Everything you've given me comes from you. God's provision, isn't it? He's acknowledging God's provision. His forgiveness. It's actually back in verse 4. He says, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. What was the work that Jesus was about to finish? What's the work that he'd finished? We talked about it right at the beginning. Restoring that relationship, removing those sins. Yeah? That was it. It's all about forgiveness, isn't it? It's all about forgiveness. So there's the forgiveness there. If you look in verse, let me see, it will be guidance, is it? Guidance, yes. That's down in verse 17. He says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. The word of God is our truth. Everything God says in his word is absolutely true. You can stand on it. It's a foundation you can stand on. So everything that God says is right. Everything God says is true. Because it's dependable. It's a foundation on which you can stand. And so that's all about God's guidance. And then God's protection. In verse 15, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, this is the disciples he's praying for, but that you protect them from the evil one. Now that sounds very, very like deliver us from evil, doesn't it? So here's Jesus actually in John 17 going through the same stages as he's gone through with the disciples with the Lord's Prayer. So this method or this these characteristics, if you like, are very important. It's not the words of the Lord's Prayer that are so important as what they're expressing. There's a balance in there. And if you remember when we did the triangle, right, you can actually see within the Lord's Prayer the triangle's actually there. Because you can see that when we're talking about the Father's character and his kingdom, that's the up aspect of the triangle, isn't it? And if you look at the next one, which is the Father's provision and the Father's forgiveness, that's stuff that's coming in, yeah? That's into us, yeah? And of course, there you can see that the obvious last one is the Father's guidance and the Father's protection as we go out as his ambassadors into the world where we live and work Yeah? And allow ourselves to be conduits for that kingdom to be expressed. Yeah? So actually the triangle's there as well. And it's all about that balance. And it's all about God. It's all about us allowing God to come in and operate through us. But it's our choice. We can choose to do this and allow God to do it, or we can stop. But what we mustn't do is allow prayer to become a shopping list. Here's all the things I need. Oh, God won't think very much of me if it's all about me. I'll pray for the guy down the road as well. But what about God speaking? You see, there has to be a balance in this as well. If it's a proper relationship, it's a two-way thing. So we've got to watch that that's there. Are we hearing God speak? Because when God speaks, amazing things happen. I don't know if you've ever had an occasion in your life where God has spoken or given you direction. I suspect you have. I've seen it several times in my life where God's just spoken into a situation or given us direction. We've done it with houses. When we've moved house, God's just said, that's the house. Go buy that one. Used to drive my lawyer mad because he'd say, but you've not sold yours yet. He'd say, ah, yeah, but that's the one. We've heard from God. That's the one. And it's wonderful when you know that's where it's come from. You can act on it. And what happens? Your faith builds. Now, you see, your faith isn't building because you've done something. It's because God's spoken, you've heard it, and you've done it. So your faith's building because of God. See, faith is the product of God working in your life and you seeing it. That's where faith comes from. It doesn't come because you decide one day, I'll have faith. You choose to believe, you choose to accept Jesus, but faith's going to grow if God works in your life and you see it. That's where your faith will come from. And that's how it'll grow. And it doesn't grow any other way. You have to hear God's voice. You have to know it's God. And your faith will grow. So you've had plenty of time to think about it. I don't know if God's spoken to anyone tonight in any particular way, but it'd be great if he has. You don't even have to tell us what it is, but you know, if God said something to you in the period between us starting to worship and now, could you put your hand up? I won't ask you to share it, but if you've heard God say something that you're going to hold on to, yes. It happens. It's real. And if it hasn't happened, don't stop asking him, because it will happen. It will happen, and it's real, because God's real. So I'm going to ask Susan to come back, and we're going to have one more song as we finish. And perhaps I should hand back to you, David.
So our final song this evening